Well, today the topic is actually salvation. And I believe I have about 15 minutes to talk about it instead of 15 hours. That means that probably I have to bring your attention to the point. In this chapter, in this particular reading, these people are debating about either Jesus can really be the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed, the one who is prophesied and promised in the Old Testament. And their debate is, well, one group of people are saying he cannot be. Why not? Because according to the prophecy, we should not know where he's from. But we know that his mom's living in that town, and he grew up in that town. How could he be the Messiah? And the other group saying that, well, but look at it, that how much signs and miracles that he showed us, that he should be the Messiah. So, this Amos, chapter 9, which was our first reading, somehow describes the promise. This is the last, very last words in Amos. And this particular reading is titled as the Restoration of David's Kingdom. The promise in the Old Testament is very clear that they will have the Messiah who will build a new kingdom for them, which is almost invincible, which will possess all the good lands with all those vineyards and all the goodies from the land. And they will live happily ever after. That's the promise, or that's at least how the people understood the promise. If you look at this way, the salvation is about having security and prosperity on earth. Compared to that, being slaves or in slavery or in poverty or in hunger, famine, disaster, you could have imagined all kind of bad things. So instead of all those bad things, you have prosperity and security. And for the ancient people, that was paradise. And that was their salvation. Also, these are the people that who lived in a world view that the world is flat, and then the earth is the center, and the sun and the moon goes around. Now, if you come to the New Testament, here comes a man who claims to be the Messiah, and shows the signs quite close. Yet, they have a debate. Why? Because it doesn't exactly look like what the prophecy is saying about. Or more likely, he doesn't really seem to promise what they've been expecting. So, for them, what Jesus was offering was not salvation. Just more trouble. So, to you, a question. What is a salvation to you? Do you need indeed to be freed from something? Or do you need God's help on it? And that's question to you, and that's my first talk. So, in the morning when you woke up today, how was your feeling? Was it like, oh, good day, happy, let's live and rejoice? Or is it, oh, another morning, do I have to really get up? I need 5 more minutes or 10. What makes that difference? Well, truthfully saying, if you expect something good happening today, you can't wait even to get up. But if you may think it's just another day out of, I don't know, 365 days you have, And if you're 50 years old times 50, it's like just another day. Sun comes up, I get up, I eat. Again, the mood of this mind, who has power to control it? You know, William James is quite a popular guy in America. So in his book, Variety of Religious Experiences, and the first chapter, he describes quite a lengthy about telling us that we are animals of habit. What it means is simply that, just comparing, taking that in example as getting up in the morning, if you make yourself to say, oh, it's a wonderful morning, I'm going to have a great day every morning, when it becomes a habit, you'll feel it. But opposite way is also true that I don't like this day. I don't want to get up. It's just the same old day. Then it'll become your habit too. When a certain thing becomes a habit, it's very hard to change. You know why? Even if you know it's a bad thing, it's still very hard to change. Because changing habit brings you anxiety. You become automatically nervous and anxious. You know why? Because you have to jump into uncertainty and a temporary chaos. Even if it's a bad habit, you still have it in order. You know what's going to happen. But when you break it, you're jumping into uncertainty. You don't know what is going to happen. And it's chaotic. People really cannot stand that. That's why, either good or bad way, we use our logic and rationality to justify whatever we do. So there is a saying in Korea that even if a virgin gets pregnant, she has a good excuse. Well, it's old days of saying, living in a Confucian society. Or every tomb that has, there's no tomb that doesn't have a good reason to die. So we want that in our heart at the most. Why? Because if we don't have it, we feel very, somehow, unsafe, insecure. What does happen when you feel insecure and unsafe? You do all kind of things that you will regret. So, why does that really relate to salvation? I was thinking whole week, probably longer than that, about the issue of salvation. From what do we really need to be saved? Do you really need to be saved from the power of the Satan? Personally, I don't believe in Satan or devil or demon who is powerful enough to influence us, who is protected by God. Supposedly, each soul, each spirit is protected by God, by the power of God. What is given to us to make all this trouble is something called free will, a freedom of choice. You have freedom of choice. This thing is much more serious than you think it is. You can seriously choose to live or to kill yourself, to choose good or to choose evil, consciously and intentionally. And you even can make yourself to enjoy life of good or life of evil. You can actually enjoy that. The freedom of choice is much serious business. So, still, I didn't say anything about from what we need to be saved. So for that, I need to quote Buddhism in this context. You know, there was a small little monk who became a monk when he was probably 8 or 9, lived in the monastery like all life, When he was 50, he thought he was enlightened. Why? Because he felt like, you know, he kept all the rules and he fought against all the desires and temptations, and he succeeded. You know, so he one day declared that, you know, I think I'm enlightened. Well, was he? No. He fell into his own creation of the illusion that he's enlightened. He wanted it so much to be a Buddha that he made himself to be a Buddha. And he taught himself how to act like a Buddha, how to talk like a Buddha. How? Well, it's all written in the scriptures. Not that easy. But not that hard. So, what happened to him? Well, long story goes, and after many, many, many different temptations and stories and happenings, the Buddha himself felt compassion to this guy, so he let him see what's really happening. And in the visions, he saw that himself actually carving his image into Buddha and saying that that's Buddha and that's me. We sometimes could do that too. We make our own image in a certain way, taking certain traits, aspects, behaviors onto us and telling ourselves that, hey, look at this. I can do this. I'm this good. So, the very being, the very thing from which we need to be saved is our own self. That's why salvation is a tough business. That's why God cannot just grant it to us, all of us, and make us all angels. Why not? If you enter Christian world in your youth, you cannot avoid but ask the simple question, why didn't Jesus just save everybody and made everybody angels? He came on earth, by the way, right? He came. If you believe Jesus, God incarnate, came on earth to the humans, why didn't he just turn all of us into angels? What's the so much of trouble telling us that you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to remember this, you need to... I mean, so many, many advices, in a way. He gives us so many advices. And even ending that, lo, I am standing at the door knocking. Anybody who listens to my voice and opens it, I'll come in. So, when we talk about salvation, from what do you need to be saved? My moment of salvation or the vision that I saw a long time ago that changed me my mind to be much more positive. I choose to be positive even sitting on all negativity. One day I saw this vision that there was a man struggling and in a full fear of this dark water that is devouring him from bottom up. This man was literally standing in this dark water, huge river, and waist deep. And every second this water is increasing. So in the matter of seconds or hours, he's sure that he'll be devoured by it. But then, above this head, there's blue sky with sun shining, with beautiful birds and butterflies all over. And as he realizes that there is different aspect in this reality, looks up, you know what happens? His body was also lifted up slowly but steady. As he focuses on the heaven, he was lifted up. As he focused on the water, he was sinking into the water. That was my vision. But that's when I chose that, you know what? I will focus on this one. Blue sky, butterflies and birds, and hopefully angels and God above it. I want to go there, and I belong there, not here. When I chose that, well, I'm not still out of that full dark water. You know, from time to time, I get to look down, and then it sinks again. So, and finally, I just saw a movie. I became a bachelor, temporary bachelor again, so I can watch my movies. So I was watching this Jean-Claude Van Damme. He was famous once upon a time ago when I was a teenager. So he made another movie, so I watched it. Just one line saying that each one of you, each person has two tigers in your right? So which one becomes the ruling tiger? The one that you feed. Yeah, the one that you feed. Which emotion, which reality becomes your reality? The one that you feed. Which one would you choose? God comes in when you choose the right one. God comes in with much more blessing on that one, making sure that you chose the right way. That I can guarantee. And actually, God also comes in kind of knocking on our conscience when we choose wrong. It hurts. That's a sign. But which one would you choose? It's up to you. So may God bless you all in your choice of the reality, the one that you want to dwell in from now on, forevermore.